Father's Day, I think most of us, when we first get married, we have ideas of what it means to be a father, a good father, but we're really not prepared. I mean, we've seen fatherhood modeled in our families, which may or may not be positive. It depends on what your circumstances are. Not everybody has had the privilege of growing up in a loving family. Sometimes the images that are indelibly made in those early years, sometimes they're not good images. So I don't know what your circumstances have been. I would say that, though, whatever our ideas might be about fatherhood, they change over time. And for a Christian man to ask that question, what does it mean to be a Christian father? Is there a difference between being just a good father and being a Christian father? Does it make a difference? I believe that Christ always makes a difference in a person's life. So that when you're just talking about an individual and the good things they do, it's different when that same individual not just adds Christ to their life, but becomes committed, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Word of God indicates that the gospel raises people. It'll raise people from where they are to places where they would never be without God. Is it important to be a Christian man? Yes, it is. Is it important to be a Christian father? Yes, it is, for many reasons. The kinds of things that you face as a father are different than some of the things that were faced, 20, 30, 40 years ago. We hear that saying, well, kids will be kids, they're always kids. Well, kids being kids today is different from kids being kids 40, 50 years ago. You say, well, kids are just kids. Well, they are. But the kinds of things that they're exposed to, involved in today, and guess what? As dad, you've got to handle a lot of it. Say, so what's the value of being a Christian father? Well, there's a lot of value because you gain wisdom that you'll not gain anywhere else. Don't live life as just a father. Live it as a Christian father. And I guarantee you'll be better off. It doesn't mean you always do everything right all the time. It doesn't mean all your decisions are correct all the time. But it does mean that you are plugged into a source that will give you the right answer. It'll give you the right answer. I think of the great stories of the Bible when God moved upon men of God in the past, and wonder what was it like to be in the presence of Moses when some of these great things happened. Be in the presence of some of the great commanders like Joshua when God brought the victory. Be in the presence of a Daniel who saw the hand of God move on his behalf. I mean, and to think, well, does God do that today? Well, can he do that? Of course he can. And there are going to be some times in your life when you'll wish that God's hand would move that way for you. You might be facing a situation that seems as it's nigh impossible. What's the right thing to do? And you need to hear from heaven like those great men of old. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. In this chapter and in this book, Paul is giving instruction to the church, to various people in the church, to children and to parents, even to masters and slaves and things of that nature. And in this final chapter, in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm just going to take a few verses here from 10 and following, and I want to apply it to Christian fatherhood this morning. It's a familiar passage to many of you, I'm sure. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I believe men in particular value strength. Any of you out there in those younger years, or perhaps even in the present, go to the gym or whatever, you want to pump iron. Strength. When I was younger, I had a man attending our church that was Mr. America back in the 40s and attended my dad's church. And he was an inspiration to us. He taught our Sunday school class. What a fine man of God. He was also an expert in some of the martial arts. And he was just a wonderful example to us. And while during those teen years, you know, preteen and teen years, some of us got interested in this. He was able to help me get a set of weights, you know, the barbells and all that. We didn't have some of the fancy machines you have nowadays, you know, but the free weights and all that. And so we got involved in that, pumping iron and building up. And so I got into the bodybuilding thing early in high school and for several years. And I remember that. We were just in awe of the strength of this man and the example he was to us. There's something about that, to be a man who is strong. We kind of use that as we epitomize the whole idea of someone being outstanding as being one of person of strength, you know, strength, physical strength in particular. It's very attractive. But this morning I want to deal with something here. I believe we are facing a situation in our world that calls for not just physical strength. That's okay. But there is a certain spiritual strength that is necessary. And in Ephesians, it touches on that. It says that as a man of God, you need to be prepared because there are going to be things that are going to affect your life that have nothing to do with physical strength, but it has everything to do with spiritual strength. And so perhaps I would title this A Call for Supernatural Strength. We live in this society that values this strength and power and all that. Just look at the numbers of people who go to the workout clubs and all that around. I sometimes go into the parking lot down here. I'm going to one of the stores, not to the workout club. I probably should be there, but it's amazing. I'll see all these cars. I say, what's going on? And then I'll realize there's one of these workout clubs or something down there, and people are coming and going at almost all hours of the day and night, you know. And there's this emphasis on that. There's fascination with that. But as men of God, we face these issues that cause us to live out our Christianity in ways that are often challenging and uncomfortable. Doesn't depend on physical strength. I ask you this morning, what does it mean to be strong? Do you see yourself as being strong? How many of you see yourself as being strong? You men in particular, are you strong? What do you think it means to be strong in the Lord? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Because that's the admonition. Finally, notice the admonition. Be strong in the Lord. That's what the apostle says. He highlights what he feels is most important, and then he follows with an explanation of supporting this. He felt it was important. Now, I'm going to give you some final words here. Now, this is what I want to tell you. You better be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. A preacher was using an illustration trying to get the point across of how we sometimes missed the point on what we're really facing. He gave this illustration. He said, many years ago, there was this boxer in a match, and he was getting beat to a pulp almost every round. He was just getting clobbered, smashed, and he'd go between rounds and get down, and in his corner there was his handler was trying to encourage him, and he could hardly drag himself to the corner in here, and then he'd sit down, and the guy would say, "Hey, you're doing great, you're doing wonderful. Go out there and get him. He hasn't laid a glove on you." He'd go out, and sure enough, he was getting pummeled and beat to a pulp. He could drag himself back to the corner, and here's this guy, "Oh, you're doing great, don't worry about it. He hasn't laid a glove on you. Go on out there and get him. And don't keep up the fight, you're doing great." And finally, after hardly being able to breathe, the fighter turns to his trainer between rounds. He says, "Now look," he says, "I'm going out there this round, and this is the round I'm going to get him. But you keep your eye on that referee, because somebody out there is beating the devil out of me." And that's the way it is. But I'll tell you, it wasn't the devil. That devil really was beat it out of him, in the sense that the devil comes to seek to destroy those who are trying to live a virtuous life. And you say, why do we need spiritual strength? It's because we are going to face the adversary. Anytime you want to live your faith as a Christian man, you have an adversary that's going to oppose you. It's a fact of the Christian life. Some people come to Christ and they wonder why they have opposition. And one of the most difficult things as a new Christian is to handle the opposition that almost immediately comes your way once you make a decision to serve God. And there's a reason for that. You see, before you made that commitment to serve Christ, you didn't have the same kinds of opposition. Oh, there were things going on in your life. You probably aren't aware of it. Your life is, some people think, well, their life is better before they accepted Christ, things got worse. Well, it really wasn't better. It's just that once you accept the Lord, you have an adversary now that's going to try to cause you to make the wrong decision every time. The devil doesn't want you to make the right decision. If the job of the devil is to destroy people, destroy souls, to condemn them to an eternal hell, do you think he wants you to prosper and in the sense of spiritual prosperity and to do what's right? He's not gonna want that. He's gonna try to cause you to fall. It's just one of the facts of the Christian life. A common misconception that people have is that the problem is always caused by someone else. Notice what it says. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." And then it says, "Put on the full armor of God," and the reason is given, "so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." You talk about someone as being a schemer. What do you think about schemers? You usually don't like schemers, because they're always trying to find a way. They have an ulterior motive. And now and then, there are schemers that enter our lives, aren't there? And there are people that when we find out about it, you don't always know about it because they're such good schemers. But when you do find out about it, you mark them. And those are the kind of people you want to avoid, because you know there's always another agenda that they have in mind. And there's something about that. You don't like schemers. And it talks here about the devil has schemes that he is creating, because he wants you to fall. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to make mistakes. The scripture says that we have to stand against the schemes of the devil. You can mark this down if you're a Christian man, if you're a man of God, someone who's trying to do what's right. You can mark it down. The devil is going to try everything he can to cause you to fall and to fail. You don't think so? Anybody here, I'm speaking to the men, and maybe others, you have a trouble or a problem with pornography? Say, "Well, I'm a Christian." That doesn't make any difference. We're finding in the church, I get articles and things coming across my desk. One of the big plagues of the church right now is Christian men in pornography, because it's so easily accessible on the web. You say you're a Christian man? Okay, good. You say the devil doesn't scheme? I have a feeling that he schemes. And it may be that even here this morning, there's someone who's being affected by that. He's a schemer. And he wants you to sacrifice your eternal salvation for momentary pleasure. He wants to damn your soul to hell. Mark it down. The devil is not your friend. He's nobody's friend. And it doesn't have to be pornography. It can be other things. He's a schemer. Are some of you in a position where you've discovered a way that you could get financial gain, but it means you're going to have to undercut or do something that's a little bit shady? Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know how tough things are in my family. I know how tough things are. Believe me. I've been through it. There have been times in my life when we didn't know where our next paycheck came from, or our next meal came from, or anything. We just had to trust the Lord. The devil will try to push you to the limit. He will scheme and devise ways for you to sacrifice your integrity and your Christian witness. Mark it down. He's no friend. Those who choose not to serve Christ are foolish. They're doing exactly what the devil wants, because he knows at the end of the road is the darkness of hell for those who reject the gospel. He knows that. And so he wants you to feel great when you're not around Christian people or not in the church or whatever. He doesn't want you to feel guilty. He'll make you think that everything's really okay, or that that's all a myth. Don't get wrapped up. Don't get involved with those fanatics. All that stuff, you see. He's a schemer. He plays tricks. He plays games with your mind. That's what he is. He tries to tell you that you know what's best. You know, you're going to fly in the face of all the evidence of all of history from the time of Christ and before the time of Christ, of the intervention of God in the world. All of the evidence that we have that's indisputable, it flies in the face. But you know better. You know better. You know there really isn't a God that's going to hold anybody accountable. You can do your own thing, or you can become your own salvation. You know all that. It flies in the face of reality, of what we have. But you're going to do it anyways. You're going to do it your way anyways. He's a schemer. He wants you to believe that. So when you choose to do wrong, maybe the devil didn't make you do it, but he will do his best to influence you to make the wrong decision. It's there. We live in alien territory. We see the opposition that is here. I read for you verse 11, and notice in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been in a situation where you have felt the presence of wicked spiritual forces? Some of you have been shielded from it. Because in America, you know, we don't see some of the things. But some of you might have been in places. I've been in places where I have felt the presence of evil. And it is terrifying if you don't know the Lord. So you think that we're playing, that church is playing games? Let me tell you something. There are some real forces, strong forces, that you never want to confront. And the question to you, my friend, is this. If you don't have the full armor of God, and if you don't have the strength of the Lord, and you haven't tapped into the supernatural strength that God has provided for you through His Holy Spirit, how are you going to handle that when you're faced with it? When you look into the face of evil, where you're in the presence of darkness, it'll terrify you. It'll make the hairs on your neck stand up. You'll feel it. There's a reality beyond the visible. We have too many people that think that the real is only what we see. Listen, the unseen realm is far more real than you think it is. And it influences your life. How are you going to live a life that's pleasing to God? How are you going to gain heaven while you're living on earth if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God in your life and you're not living for the Lord? How are you going to do that? You can't just determine in your mind, well, I'm gonna make it regardless. And some people think they know it all, and they know nothing. They know nothing of reality. But those that who have been in the presence of evil, when it rears its ugly head, those individuals know the necessity for the power of God and the peace of God that'll pass all human understanding. It goes beyond your understanding. It is the power of God's righteousness. And you need it, and I need it. And we live in a world where we're aliens. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Our home is heaven. That's where we're headed. God has us destined for heaven if we live for Him. So how are you going to get through this life? You're going to face all of the stress and all the struggles and the scheming of the enemy. The apostle says there's a way you can do it. There's a way you can do it. But you have to apply the word to your life. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. With the opposition we face, it's no time to play church or be anything but totally committed to our faith in Christ. And you know, there's another reason why it's important. Others depend on the strength you exhibit as a godly man, as a godly father. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. There are young ones and they look to you. One of the greatest disappointments in life for a child is to see the failure of their parents in any way, to see a father who fails them. Some people never get over that image. They never get over it. To have a father who somehow decides he's going to live for himself and not live for God, that even at the mention of God, turns away. And then to realize later on in life that that was the only means of salvation. There are some who depend on you. They depend on the strength you exhibit. Your spouse, your children, your unsaved friends. Those who have to face the same dark spiritual forces without any knowledge of the danger they face. Well, how do you win? How do you get through this? Well, he then gives us this instruction here in this passage. I'm just going to quickly go over this. We turn back to the word in verse 13 and following. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. You see, that's what God wants you to do as a man of God. God wants you to stand firm. You might say, well, you know, I've done no great thing. I mean, I don't have a lot of awards. I don't have a lot of accomplishments. Don't let that plague you. What God wants you to do is to be firm in your conviction and in your faith and to stand firm in that. Don't allow the scheming of the enemy to move you off that rock of salvation upon which you stand. That's what God wants for you. To resist the devil. Stand firm. Girding your loins with what? Truth. Don't be afraid of truth. Be truthful. Don't be a schemer. Don't be one who stretches the truth or who lies. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is right living, doing the right thing. You know, don't be afraid to do the right thing. Always try to do the right thing. You may not always know what the right thing is to do, but at least aspire to do the right thing in your decisions. Don't cast your lot with those who are scheming or trying to undercut or trying to find the shortcut. You try to do the right thing. God wants you to be that kind of person. Having shod your feet. I thought that's interesting. Look at that picture you have in verse 15. Shod your feet, or putting on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea, you know, you usually put on your feet, you put shoes on your feet, you know. But if you have peace in mind, if you shod your feet with peace. The idea is that wherever your feet take you, that's where you are, right? Your feet take you there. Be careful where your feet take you. Don't intentionally just get involved in stressful and situations where there's a lot of strife. You know, be a person who's wise enough to know there are some places I can go, there are some places I cannot go. I cannot go. In addition to taking up the shield of faith, let your faith stand. That's what's going to shield you. When all else seems to be failing around you, your shield of faith, you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. He's going to fire at you, but your faith will cause you to stand. And take the helmet of salvation, your mind, to protect your mind. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I know that. The devil may say one thing, but I know what the Word says, that my hope and my faith is in Jesus Christ, and He is my rock. Regardless of what the devil says, it's amazing how often the devil will come to those who serve God and will try to convince them that they're really not saved, that there's nothing to it, and try to discourage you. Let your faith arise and say, oh, but I know my Redeemer lives. My hope is placed in Christ, and He will not fail me. And it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't despise the Word of God. Don't take issue with the Word of God. It's amazing how many people are mad at the Word of God. They're mad at the book. And we say, notice what I call it, the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. This is God's Word. God is speaking, and you get mad at what God said. I mean, we can get mad at what other people say, but don't get mad at what God says, because God's words are life. They lead you to eternal life. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the Word of God. Stand upon the Word. Know the Word. Live the Word in your life. Let me end by saying that we need to be strong, not just for ourselves, but for others. You serve best when you are equipped for the task you face. And God has given us all we need to be men of God, strong in the power of His Spirit. The apostle says, let's be men of God. Let's take advantage of all that God has given us. Let's stand upon His Word. Let's not shrink in our responsibilities. When it gets difficult, when it gets tough, let's continue to stand faithful in the things God has given us, in the knowledge that He's given us, to be strong in the power of His might. Call for supernatural strength in this day. I believe we need it. As the day gets closer to the coming of Christ, more and more, we are going to need the power of God's Spirit in our lives. Would you bow in prayer? Father, we recognize that we have limitations to our abilities. We fall short sometimes, and we recognize that sometimes it seems like the task in front of us is too great. But your word does declare that we can receive a divine anointing from you. And when our strength fails us, the strength of the Lord is there to help us. When our wisdom fails us, the wisdom of the Lord is there to help us. When all of our resources fail, the resources of the Lord, they are there for us. A lot of it just goes back to simple trust in you. And Lord, I just pray that on this Father's Day that the men of God that you have called, that are part of our fellowship here, that they will truly take a stand, that they won't shrink back from their responsibility. It's so easy to say, well, I just can't do it. I don't have the means. I don't have the wherewithal. I'll just let things be as they are. We need to take a stand. There's a time when you've called men to take a stand for what is right. And so I just pray, Lord, that you will stir our hearts today. And God, that you'll help us. Help us to be the men of God that you want us to be. If there's even one person here today that would say, you know, I'm not really living for the Lord the way I should, that the devil, the schemer, he has been plaguing my life. And God, for that person who's struggling, I pray that they will find renewed faith in you and belief that they can overcome. They can be an overcomer. They can receive supernatural strength that will help them. Lord, let us not only know your ways, but let us walk in them, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me as we sing the chorus? Don's going to lead us in the chorus. Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise
the name of Jesus.
He's my deliverer.
In him will I trust.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Now let's sing it from our hearts. Let's let it resound as we sing. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we rejoice in that name. We stand, O God, upon your promises and upon your word. And as we go from this place, may we be not just hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day. Amen.